Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Ordinary Council meeting for Brighton Council for the month of March. I'd like to welcome councillors, senior staff and members of the public gallery. I'd like to also remind that an audio recording of this council meeting, except for any part held in closed session, will be made in accordance with our audio recording of council and committee meetings policy 7.11. The audio recording will be available on council's website within 7 business days after this meeting. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Palawa Pakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item 2 is apologies and applications for leave of absence. We've got a request from Councillor Peter Geard for a leave of absence, and we have an apology this evening from Councillor Irons. Is someone prepared to move those? Yeah. Moved by Councillor Della Torre, seconded by Councillor Owen. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 3 is confirmation of minutes, and item 3.1 is confirmation of minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 18th of February. And they're in our agenda this evening. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor Curran. If there's no debate, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4 is declaration of interest. Does anyone wish to declare an interest on any item on the agenda this evening? Thank you. We'll just note there is no declaration of interest. Item 5 is public question time and deputations. And Moira, would you like to come forward? Just speak.
I know tonight that you're going to be making some decisions around the Bridgewater Dairy statue placement, and Cafe Connections are a group of local citizens who try to make improvements and give some ideas on what to do in the community. We saw that the old Bridgewater Dairy statue was being pulled apart, picked apart in the place that it was before, and we asked it to be refurbished and removed, or removed and refurbished, which council has very happily agreed to. And then State Roads have got involved about where they might replace Bridgewater Dairy down near the bridge in a sculpture park. We at Cafe Connections just wanted to say that we're happy with that idea, as long as it wasn't under the bridge, as long as it was in the place where people could oversee it, and that a provision was made for ongoing repair. We look at something like Keep Australia Beautiful Day, where we come and clean it up like once a year or something like that. So I just wanted to say in your recommendations tonight that if you could consider that it be placed in somewhere where it was going to be overseen by lots of people, and in a place where we knew that it was going to be that it was going to be shown exactly what it was for and why it was put there, and then that it would have regular upkeep on it.
Thank you.
Can I take my leave now?
You certainly might.
I look forward to hearing your presentation.
Thank you. Item 6 is reports from council, and item 6.1 is the Mayor's communications for the previous month. Listed in the report. Is there any questions on any of those? Any further explanation required?
You knew it's something today, Mayor?
I did, but that was the last minute. It was only put on the agenda yesterday. Only notified yesterday. So we had a an announcement, had some media. Well, we didn't have any media, actually. Tas Water were interested in getting some media just to highlight the finishing of the sewage pump station. So myself and the general manager, some people from Tas Water, Tim Cubitt in particular, one of the head engineers, together with Labor candidate for Lyons, Rebecca White, and Minister...
Yeah, he can't remember either.
Minister Amanda Rishworth from South Australia, and a lovely lady she is too. That was there. There was no media present, but obviously we had a look at the new pump station and they opened it up for us so we could have a look inside.
And have a smell.
Have a spell, yeah. So it was interesting, but yeah. So with that addition, is someone, if there's no further questions? Yep, thank you. Moved by Councillor Della Torre. Yeah,
moved by Councillor Owen.
Moved by Councillor Owen, sorry. Second by Councillor Della Torre. Put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 6.2 is reports from council representatives. Is there any councillor wish to make a report? I have... Councillor Owens is an apology for this evening, but I have... he's sent in a report that I'll read for you now. On the 12th of March, he attended the Climate Change Conference. He noted that a very worthwhile day with some really alarming figures hot off the press showing 2024 to be the worst year in history and irreversible damage done on a global scale. A really excellent focus and debate on where Council's responsibility lies in terms of not only prevention, but also preparation for changes to come. It also really did highlight the opportunities to be leaders in this field through getting our own backyard in order and sharing those wins, hopefully inspiring others in our municipality to follow. You leave these events feeling rather hopeless, sometimes at the scale of what needs to be done, but bite-sized chunks will make a difference, and I hope to bring some ideas to the table in the near future. On the 13th of March, the Greater Hobart Homeless Alliance meeting. A big focus of this meeting was along the lines of street counts and how that may be done, as well as what their value actually is and whether money and time is better spent on other ways. Heard some great speakers from New South Wales to hear their experiences and how they delivered their research. It was decided next meeting to bring some experts in that have done other types of research that may be of more value to Greater Hobart. Certainly worthy of mention as our municipality would be included in that research. For our municipality, I felt personally a street count didn't really highlight our challenges locally, as we do not have a history of rough sleepers, more overcrowding of residences and couch surfing. Though this may also be that those struggling head to in the city region. It does not mean they don't start out in our municipality. Also to hear of all the support facilities at capacity in many instances is concerning and shows more needs to be done. On the 15th, Greg went to the meeting of the Jordan River Community Shed Managers and stage one of the overhaul. Very productive progress so far in planning for the future. We brought a local marketer online and have some funding to kick off the basics. This will also include some logo and branding work, as well as really solidifying the direction and focus of how to best market and target potential members. It will also include a new website and the ability to sign up online, as well as experience a taste a day before committee. We'll be looking for more mentors and supervisors to volunteer their time. We have begun exploring some other income-generating activities as well as planned events to attract people to attend for the first time and see what it is all about. We can't charge in too fast until we have the back end set up. So this will be the priority first up, and certainly council is interested in helping this, helping the cause. There will be plenty of opportunities as it unrolls. So that was Councillor Iron's report. Can I have someone move that that be received? Councillor Curran and Councillor McMaster. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving on, item 7 is miscellaneous correspondence, and there is two pieces of correspondence that we've received, a letter from State Planning Office and a letter from the Chair of Tasways South. Item 8 is notification of workshops. There were two workshops held over the previous month, one on the 25th and one on the 4th. Attendance and apologies to those are in our agenda. Item 9 is notices on motion, and there aren't any this evening. Item 10 is consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. There are no supplementary items. Item 11 is reports from committees. There are no reports from committees for the month of March. Item 12 is council acting as a planning authority. Just like to remind everyone that under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, in accordance with Regulation 25 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, the council will act as a planning authority in respect to those matters appearing under item 12 on this agenda, inclusive of any supplementary items. Item 12.1 is a planning scheme amendment, site specification qualification for mobile food vendor in Strong Street, Bridgewater. Hand over to you, Alex.
Through you, Mayor. So, as you would be aware, we previously put up a report to go out to advertising for inserting a site-specific qualification in the utilities zone use table, which would permit food services if for a mobile food vendor. So as part of that report, resolution, we went out and advertised, and we received two comments in the public exhibition, or two responses. Those responses were from Taswater, who said that they didn't have any interest in the draft amendment and did not wish to attend the hearing. And Tasgas simply provided a comment that it didn't have any objections. However, they noted that a network bow was in close proximity and would require unrestricted access, so just to keep the trucks 5 metres away from the bow to ensure safe and clear access. So given those two, that was the only two submissions we received. We've made a recommendation there to proceed with lodging our 40K report to the Commission and proceeding with the amendment.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions of Alex on that one?
Just one for you, Mayor. Alex, is there any requirement for us to delineate that area around the Tasgas main valve? Is there some sort of works we'll do in that area to make sure that that's kept free?
Probably speak you to that if you like. So we're currently working through the gas main is actually managed by a Tasmanian gas pipeline, which is separate to Tasgas. And we're working through establishing an agreement by which we can do works within their easement, and then they have access unimpeded, and then also an arrangement around what the implications would be if they need to do upgrades and that park infrastructure is there and all that sort of thing. So that will all fall out of that process.
Thank you. Any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation on page 10 of our agenda. Is someone prepared to move? Thank you. Moved by Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor Curran. Is there any discussion or debate? Councillor Owen? Thank you. Nothing further? I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 12.2 is Back Tea Tree Road, Tea Tree, a subdivision of 11 lots, including construction of road and accesses over 39, 40 and 41 Rosewood Lane and vegetation clearance. Hand over again to Alex.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you. So this application's been with us for quite some time, since 2021. The subdivision, 11 lots, essentially received two representations when advertised. the representors raise a number of issues, including location of the building envelopes within the effluent irrigation scheme buffer under the attenuation code. There was queries regarding the future access strips and fencing at Rosewood Lane, and queries regarding future easements over properties at Rosewood Lane. After following the advertising period, particularly around the two lots that were within the buffer zone, we were able to work with the applicant and push those two building envelopes back, so they're therefore outside the buffer zone, so that addressed some of those issues that were there. Essentially, there is some flora and fauna, the natural values assessment identified a couple of areas where they threaten communities and the like, and so there would be conditions placed recommended on the permit for council to consider. But overall, essentially, the recommendation is provided with a number of conditions, and there's probably a few more than we would normally recommend, and the reason being is that we've had to work, I guess, with the applicant rather than get the information to provide conditional approval.
Thanks, Alex. I reached out today just in regards to one matter. Under the skyline protection zone, there was a clause in regards to where you could build a house that had to be more than 200 metres from a boundary of a agricultural or rural property. I'll just ask you to share what that answer was, if you may, please.
Through you, Mayor. So lot 11 is the only building envelope that essentially doesn't meet the 200 metre buffer zone to the property at the north. If you look on page 17 of meeting agenda, you'll see that it's at the top of the proposed subdivision. So as part of that, there was a consideration given to the adjoining land and its capability and the like. And so the assessing officer found that that it did meet the performance criteria, and the fact that its location and the fact that what could occur and the capability of the next door block.
Thank you. Our councillors, open to you. Any questions of Alex on this one? Councillor Whelan.
Mayor, I'll go first. Alex, a couple. So there's a fairly long council road to be adopted. Beyond that, there is some accessways, internal accessways to lots. I noticed the scheme sort of talks about the length of the access being reasonable. So from a planning point of view, what do you consider a reasonable length access internally, but beyond council road sort of thing? Sort of after a planning answer rather than...
Probably is a subjective one, isn't it? But, I'd probably need to take that one on notice, to be honest, Councillor Wheeler.
Yeah, okay. So I noticed the TIA, we must have asked questions of the traffic impact assessment.
Would you?
Mm. Yep, and one of the responses was, on the length of the access, was that one of them's 460 metres, given that's a straight line, sort of thing, the most direct access, doesn't really answer the question to what's reasonable. So I suppose that's...
I guess, through you, Mayor, so it took into account essentially the location, you know, adjacent properties and the like, and those within the area. It is a little bit subjective. There's not necessarily a hard and fast rule, so to speak, but one of these issues was raised within the representors, I believe.
Yeah, so I think like the access to lots 5 and 6 would be beyond 400 metres, more like 600 or 700 metres on the channel.
Yeah, I'll probably have to take that one on notice.
guess that there would be precedent within the municipality for accesses of that length, and so applying that, it doesn't stand out as an unreasonable distance.
Yeah, but they may not be within the landscape conservation zone. So I suppose my concern is that if we have a road or an access way that continues through that zone where there is specific values that we need to protect, and I'm beyond that, I'm thinking of other things such as overhead power, that sort of thing. There is some impacts that probably haven't been assessed internally, sort of within, for example, dwellings within that subdivision that are looking upon that impact. I know you might not be able to see a lot of that subdivision from Back Teacher Road or other areas. But
yeah, I suppose that power and the like would be something that would be overcome through design and not necessarily assessed at this stage.
I guess the visual impact assessment also identified that the internal road network is low and only visible from certain locations on Back Tea Tree Road to the south.
Yeah.
Most views from the development are from the south, which are uninhabited areas. And so they recommended some recommendations within that. So essentially that's what we've assessed it. And with that, the VIA, the impact assessment, the proposal was considered low to moderate with some variation.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of the moderate part.
Moderate is the concern. Yep.
Mm. Yeah. The access to lots sort of 7, 8 and 9, to lots 10 and 11, wasn't really sort of, it's not in a direct line, there's a few doglegs, there's some right angles, is that considered reasonable?
Essentially, with the assessment, our assessing officers have taken that into account with the VIA and the like, and so forth, and felt that it does meet the performance criteria.
Yeah, in terms of alignment and like preference for that side of things, I guess that it doesn't raise any flags for council assessment.
Okay. I'm sort of playing the devil's advocate a bit in a way. So.
Mm.
The performance, the acceptable solution, 50 hectares is the minimum lot size, but we've gone with 20 hectare performance criteria. Is that something that sort of we've worked back from, sort of thing? Have we started with 20 hectares and sort of tried to justify it, or is I'm sort of concerned that we are in a landscape conservation zone and we're trying to pack in as many as we can. And I just want to feel justified that we do tick all the boxes. So can we be satisfied from a quantity of judgment, I suppose, that from a planning point of view, that the performance criteria can be approved upon all those matters?
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, so the application obviously came in. There's the acceptable solution is obviously there, but they do have the ability to, as you know, to work with the performance criteria. Our assessment looked at all of those issues, and with the supporting reports that we received, we felt that it could meet those the performance criteria associated with this zone, with obviously some conditions required to address that, and I think it's sort of been it's been a challenging application, hence the reason it's been lodged in 21, and you know, we're a few years down the track, but we've attempted to address the key issues by getting some changes and the like, but I guess that's where our assessment has landed.
Sorry, it's a hard one because we're talking about such grey terms, reasonable.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult one to sort of to apply the performance criteria to. One of the other matters was that the size of the lot, so and comparing them to other lots within that area, and I found that difficult in that on one side it was rural living, on the other side were intensive agricultural lots. With a specific use. So I'm trying to compare just the landscape conservation zone. And are you satisfied that the other lots in that area, in that zone, are 20 hectares and probably take on a rural living type intent rather than sort of an agricultural intent?
So,
does that make sense?
Essentially, yes. Through you, Mayor, so we've taken into account obviously the area all around and the fact that there is an intensive agricultural land, but also that the zone to the surrounding area. I guess it is hard because it is just in that location. You're only assessing it on that single zone. We've had to take it in a broader assessment, including the other zones. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
If someone else wants to ask you questions, I'll probably come up with a few more.
just to touch on Councillor Whelan's, the acceptable solution is obviously one with a 50 hectare. The other side of it just basically says the relevant acceptable solution for development of buildings on lots, existing buildings and the location of intended buildings on the lot, the ability to retain vegetation and protect landscape values on each lot, the topography of the site and the pattern of development existing on established properties in the area, and must not be an area less than 20 hectares. So that's a performance criteria relating to what Councillor Whelan was asking about. Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Della Torre.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I guess my question relates to the number of conditions on this permit and whether we believe that those conditions are sufficiently enforceable where we haven't received updates from the applicant as we would ordinarily, and we seem to progress this application with our own volition in some ways.
Yes.
Do we think we've got sufficient safeguards in place to deliver the outcomes you're after?
Through you, Mayor, yes, you're correct in the fact that there are a significant number of conditions. We believe that we've applied those, and we do have obviously now a planning enforcement officer which we've discussed these conditions to ensure that we believe that they're enforceable, and that will obviously be ensuring that they're complied with.
I did have one other, Mr. Mayor, if it's all right. Just in relation to the representor suggesting they weren't comfortable with an easement across their land, and I guess it's procedural, what happens if we approve the permit but they can't get an easement through to deliver the subdivision?
Through you, Mayor, essentially it's the responsibility of the developer to obtain the necessary easements. So if they're unable to obtain that, they obviously need to get it or come up with an alternative.
So we could have a situation where we've issued a permit but they can't proceed with the subdivision to the point of getting on that.
Yeah, correct. But we need to assess it on the basis of the application received. So if that's the applicant's risk.
Perfect. Thank you.
following on from that, obviously in 2 years that permit would then expire if it hasn't been substantially started?
Through you, Mayor, yes, that's the legislation, but they can also apply for an extension.
Do they have to substantially start, or is that that's the next step?
No. So once they substantially start, the permit is then valid.
Yep.
But if they haven't commenced, they can request an extension,
yep,
and then a further extension. I believe 6 years in total, but they would need to request that of council.
Good. Thank you. Councillor Whelan?
A couple of quick ones. So overhead power, NBN and the like would be extended to the lots proper. So would they, is that right? So beyond the road, up the right-of-ways or up the internal driveways to the lots proper, or... Or would that just be along the road?
I believe it's just to the lot, not to the lot proper, is the requirement.
So it's condition 45, must be provided to each lot in accordance with the requirements of a responsible authority.
Yeah.
That infrastructure to be extended to the lot proper?
No, that's not a requirement.
Okay. I think one of the TIA, this is a hard one because I think there was 300 pages of attachments. Three or four days to get through it. I think the TIA did talk about the fact that there was there's no plans for the road at this stage that council have received, is that right? So can we be satisfied from an engineering point of view that we can construct those roads to satisfy bushfire and other requirements without those plans?
Well, I guess again that will fall out through the design phase, but it's difficult for us to preempt that prior to design analysis being conducted.
Substantial change would obviously require change to the permit.
Correct. Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Whelan. Councillors, are there any further questions? If not, on page 39 of our agenda, there is a recommendation which is for approval subject to 60 odd conditions. Is there anyone prepared to move that recommendation or an alternative? Thank you. Moved by Councillor Owen. Is there a seconder?
No.
Thank you. Councillor Murtagh.
Sorry.
Yep. I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor De La Torre. I now open it for debate. Councillor Owen, do you wish to speak?
I'm just in moving it now, I'd just like to endorse the planning manager's it's been a pretty long-winded and onerous application.
Thank you. Is there anything further? Councillor De La Torre?
No, I don't really have anything else to add. I think there's been sufficient conversation and I'm comfortable with the responses received that we have no choice but to approve.
Thank you. Councillors, anything further? I'll just add that obviously with the 60 plus conditions, a lot of which is going to touch on approvals down the track when plans are submitted. I think it's the conditions cover everything that needs to be covered. So thank you. Is there anything further before I put this motion? nothing further, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. That concludes the Planning Authority part of our meeting for this evening. And we'll move on. Item 13 is petitions. There are no petitions. Item 14 is officers' reports, and item 14.1 is the location of the Jervis sculpture. And I'll hand over to Ange.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We were fortunate enough to hear from Mrs. Maura Davidson this evening, who is the convener of Cafe Connections. And this story of the Jervis sculpture in recent times really starts with an interest by Cafe Connections in the Jerry weather phenomenon itself. And you'll see that back in 2021, Cafe Connections came and presented to council officers around an idea they had for leveraging the phenomenon of Jerry and in a positive way for our Bridgewater area. And so part of that was looking at a walkway along the Bridgewater foreshore, and it also was the beginning of the Jerry photo competition as well. But of course, the Jerry sculpture was identified in that presentation as a really valued community asset, and one that was degrading at the shopping centre at Greenpoint. Councillor Owen is a part of Cafe Connections and attends Cafe Connections regularly, and he was able to assist Cafe Connections with organising council to move Jerry and take Jerry down to the depot where he could be safe until such time that we could have him restored. And we did soon afterwards get some quotes from Tony Woodward, the artist's sister, who is also a mosaic sculptor as well. So that's where Margaret comes into it. So really, along the journey with Jerry, there really have only been two main locations that Cafe Connections have kind of considered that they would like to see Jerry. One was the Civic Centre and one was at the foreshore. Not necessarily where we're looking at with state growth, because the new bridge project at that point was early days. What we had happened subsequently, there was a bit of a pause. Jerry was at the depot for a while, and then in 2023 we were contacted by State Growth and the new bridge project team. There was a project officer who was responsible for looking at the community consultation around the new bridge project and also looking at the amenity of the precinct and so on, including the art installations that go down there. And they had seen the removal of the Jerry sculpture on our social media, on our Facebook page. So that's how they knew that Jerry was in our possession and was something that we were looking at restoring. So the request came from State Growth as to whether we would be interested in placing Jerry as part of the new bridge precinct down near the bridge itself. So, of course, because Cafe Connections had been so involved with the sculpture, we explained that Cafe Connections needed to be involved in any decisions that were made around that. And so we have been obviously backwards and forwards a little bit over that time, and they came back to us as the bridge got closer in 2025. And that kind of instigated us to go, we need to get restoration happening, so hence why the request for the funds to restore Jerry. And so really the main thing, as you heard from Moira tonight, is that Jerry is in a place that is as safe as possible, so where there is some passive surveillance of Jerry, where it can be given, I guess, the the pride of place that it deserves. It's a valued asset for our community, and also that there is the relevant interpretation and acknowledgement of the artist also. So that's really why we have brought this report to council. Are we happy for State Growth to have Gerry located down in option two, I think it is on the map that we provided, or would we prefer to have Gerry at the Civic Centre? And I did get some further information from State Growth. I asked them some questions. Unfortunately, it didn't come through in time to be included in the report, but I did ask some questions around what they were exactly planning down in the Bridge Precinct. So there will be landscaping, an informal walking path on that part of the foreshore. The large installation that has been out for expressions of interest would be also in that precinct, not directly near Gerry, but that would be part of that precinct as well. And there will be salvaging an arch from the existing bridge and relocating it to that foreshore area as well. That's over and above the large installation that they are currently looking at appointing the artist for. And then it would be public open space with enhanced recreation opportunities, public artwork, interpretive signage, recognising the history of the bridge precinct. And that was just to give you a little bit of more of an idea of what would be planned or is planned for that area. And that's really, really it.
Cool. Thanks, Ange. Councillors, any questions of Ange in regards to this?
I've just got one there.
Councillor Rowan?
Apparently we've got another steel statue.
What's right?
Steel statue.
Oh, yes.
On
yes.
Sanderson Board. So where does that fit in?
You guys have been exploring.
Yeah, so we've been looking at the steel sculpture for everyone else's benefit is a sea eagle. And so it's fitting. We were hoping to install that down around the Old Beach foreshore out in the bay. After a lot of back and forth between us and the State Department, it's finally decided that we weren't going to be able to do that, and so we thought an appropriate spot for that would be the Bridgewater foreshore parkland, and like with this other sculpture going in, and this thought was before the Gerry restoration was even proposed, we thought that we'd may be able to have an opportunity for a bit of a sculptural trail along the foreshore.
I think there was an attempt for about 2 years. Put it in Cassidy's Bay.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
it was deemed a navigation hazard.
In Cassidy's Bay.
Mm.
Okay. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yep. I'm a little concerned about vandalism. I mean, we're going to be investing significantly in its restoration. I am a little concerned that there's not going to be enough active surveillance down there to keep it safe. And I wonder whether the Civic Centre, with its technological surveillance, might be a better location for it so that we can keep it closer around. I guess the question is, what will be in place down there to ensure its protection, especially if it is out of the way from the car park area and it's a destination? So.
So essentially, State Growth feel that the passive surveillance, so Laura from State Growth has actually mentioned that in her email, it will be near the movements of the boat ramp and so on, the connections under the bridge, a fair bit of foot traffic because it will be a walking trail, and the houses near Nelson Esplanade there, so that which is slightly different to the Civic Centre in that at night there isn't that passive surveillance, whereas down there are people who live down there. Yeah.
Councillors, any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation. which is on page 53. That indicates option 2 on the map. Certainly option 1 was underneath the bridge, near the soon-to-be-reinstated boat ramp, and option 2 was off to the southern side of the bridge in a parkland area. In your hands.
I'm happy to move option 2.
Thank you. Councillor Curran, moved by Councillor Curran. Someone prepared a second? Thank you. Councillor McMaster. Councillor Curran, would you like to speak to the motion?
I just think that it's a really fitting place. I mean, it'll be right, right underneath the jerry, literally, most of a lot of the time. So I think it's a really fitting place for jerry to be.
Or we'd be able to see it when the jerry's in full bloom, or what do you call it.
And a lot of people would be happy to see that.
Yep. Is there anyone else wish to speak for or against the motion? Thanks, Councillor Owen. Is there anything further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14.2 is NAIDOC Week, the 2025 School Initiatives. Ange?
Yeah. I think everyone's probably fairly familiar with this one. It's an annual one that comes to Council. We have in the past double-checked that our schools are actually involved. They've confirmed again this year that all the primary schools were involved, and I think it was about 2 years ago we did ring the schools and make sure that was the case, and they confirmed it was. So, that's pretty much it.
Councillor?
I'd like to move this one.
Secondly.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Della Torre, second by Councillor McMaster. Anyone wish to speak for or against the motion?
I don't think there's any need. I think we've seen this one a couple of times. More than happy to support it again.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. I need to revisit the previous item, if I may. I may have caused some confusion, and certainly the CEO is confused, and I now second-guess myself. On the map, I mentioned, and I'll need to go to Councillor Curran in a moment, on the map, option 2 on the map was to the south side of the new Bridgewater Bridge.
Yep.
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 Option 2 on the council agenda is to locate Jerry to the front of the Civic Centre in Greenpoint.
Oh, sorry. I beg you.
So I just wanted to make sure everyone was on the same page. We're all... is that what your motion was for option 2? Near the bridge?
Near the bridge,
yeah.
Near
the bridge, yeah.
Can I ask if that was everyone's view?
Well, that wasn't my view, because I looked at it. Option 1 clearly says it says what contrary to what Councillor Curran.
Yeah, if I may, Mayor, I think there's some confusion because of option 2 in the recommendation is different to
option two
above. So everyone's voted unanimously, but some have voted for one and some have voted for the other.
Yeah.
So we might need to just revisit it.
Yeah. Is everyone okay if we reopen the debate, and we'll make it very clear what the options are? So, Councillor Curran, you have moved as per the recommendation on page 53.
Yeah, option 1. Sorry.
Yep, thank you. Councillor McMaster, are you still prepared to second that motion? Thank you. So we're back to the start again, and I'll allow everyone to speak again if they wish to. So, Councillor Curran.
No, I regret the confusion. I was reading the recommendation, which is option two, Bridgewater Water.
Yeah.
But having looked back, yeah, option one, the Bridgewater foreshore, not under the bridge.
Thank you. Councillor McMaster, you I'm wish to speak? That. Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak for or against?
Yeah, I'll be speaking against.
Thanks, Councillor Allen.
That option two would be more appropriate based on the fact that the statue would be closer to its original location and that it would be a whole lot safer in Greenpoint Road than it would be in an unknown area. We don't know what it's going to be like.
Thanks, Councillor Allen. Is there anything further? Anyone else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Whittle.
Can I just clarify something? Is it we're pretty close to that area being sort of completed. Is it possible we can wait till it is completed and we can get a better idea of what sort of passing sort of security there is there? And I don't know, I'd like to actually go down there and have a look once there's a spot for it at the moment. There isn't, I don't know where it is really, in a way. But maybe if we can hold by for a couple of months, maybe.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the only issue is that with the restoration, Dobsons, who are doing the clink, have asked for the specific location for the quotation so that they know what they're dealing with in terms of site. So that would hold up the restoration in a sense. That they actually don't want to quote until they know the specific location.
Okay. Could they be given two options if it's just a quote?
I guess so. So it's within the money that council has approved.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to check what impact that has on the work that Margaret's doing, because it was a specific question that came to me last week and I said that we wouldn't know the location until today, so it's coming to council. So I would need to check what impact that has been on progressing the restoration.
Taking Councillor Whelan's point, it might be cheaper.
I'm not terribly strong. I just thought it would be in a more appropriate. Sorry, and I'm going out of standing order. Sorry. I just thought it would be appropriate, but I'm not going to be upset if the majority of people feel that it should go with option one.
We have a motion that has been moved and seconded. We've got a foreshadowed motion from Councillor Owen, and probably even another foreshadowed motion from Councillor Whitford.
Well, I'm happy to withdraw my foreshadow.
I mean, is there any appetite for the original motion to be slightly amended as per Councillor Whelan's suggestion? Have we got some wording that we could put there? All it is to that based on CAFE's connection communication, Council agrees to South Road proposal subject to a site inspection and Council's further agreement. Something similar to that with better words? Is that, Michael, is that what you're after?
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, is that motion actually achieving anything
in this case?
We approve a motion to come back and have another motion.
Correct.
I'd probably prefer to see a separate motion that postpones a decision on it until such time as we can see the finished area.
In your hands, I mean, if the original motion the mover and second are prepared to withdraw theirs.
Yep.
Motion has been withdrawn. Councillor Whelan, you have the floor.
If we could defer the item to a further meeting for discussion. I don't think we can't pin down a meeting.
Is that simple enough?
Have a second.
Moved, seconded. Discussion or debate?
No, I'll support that on my basis. But we haven't even seen a plan. We don't like to. We're in the fog.
Yeah. I think probably the in the Jerry. I think probably the positive thing is we have approved the restoration of the statue. Or the sculpture, so that is a given. It's just the debate about where it should finish up. We've got two options, the Civic Centre or down at the bridge, or there may be a third. So it just around where we're going to put it. So I get it. That's the motion we have. It's been moved and seconded, so I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Barry, thank you. Item 14.3 is Relive the Rivalry, Legends Charity Game, venue hire request. Gillian, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So Council's been approached by Mr. James Wigan, who organises Relive the Rivalry. This is a charity game that's been running since 2012, and from what I can work out, all their donations are made to food banks. So last year they played it up at Georgetown, and they raised $25,000 for food banks. They've requested that they play their 13th game in 2026 at Quantfield Oval on the first Saturday in October, and they've requested a $299 hire fee waiver. So the consequences of this, I've spoken with the grounds foreman, is that the ground won't be ready in time for the start of the cricket season, which is normally in mid-October. But it will be ready by mid-November, and he has assured me that it's not really fired that much during the first couple of games anyway, so we're not really losing out on a lot of fire fees. I personally have been to one of the Relive the Rivalry games, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of celebrities there. Maybe you could pull your boots back on, Mr. Mayor, have a kick. But yeah, I think it's a really good chance for us to showcase Quantfield and to raise money for a great cause as well. So the recommendation is to give the Relive the Rivalry Legends charity game a full amount of the $299.
Thanks,
Julie.
Happy to move. Moved by Councillor Whelan, I think you had your hand up first, and seconded by Councillor Curran. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Oh, if I could. I know James personally. His heart's right in this. He's done a great job of running this in the past. I think it'll be a great success.
I just agree with Jill. It'll be a great way to showcase Quantfield and our amazing sports pavilion, and it will bring a lot of people into the area.
Win-win. Thank you. Anything further?
No, I agree with that, Mayor. It does attract quite a bit of media, and it would be around the municipality to get the accolades for having support.
Beautiful. Thank you. If there's nothing further, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14.4 is Infinity Drill Dance, request for reduction of fees for the Civic Centre. Over to you again, Gillian.
Okay, so we've been approached by a new drill dance club, and I must say I didn't know what drill dance was, so I've had to look that up. So it's marching, dance, theatre, music and costumes. So this group has been organised, and they've got an average age of over 30 years, so it's actually really good for I guess that age group within our municipality to get out there and get their minds moving and their bodies as well. I might have to give it a go myself with my dance moves. They've requested that they currently have because it is a new club, they've only got a certain amount of money. So this, they've requested that the Civic Centre hire rate is $74 per hour. They can only afford to pay $23 an hour. So the recommendation is that we waive the hire fees to $23 per hour. So it will be a donation recorded of $4,080, which is the difference between the amount that we would have got to the amount that we would get for the first 12 months, and then we reassess it after that.
Councillors, any questions? Councillor Della Torre.
Couple, please, Mr. Mayor. I can't see anywhere in this report or my quick Googling as to the structure of the organisation. Do we know if they're a not-for-profit or for-profit organisation?
I'm not sure. What did he say in the letter, did it?
I couldn't see anything anywhere.
I know it's like, by Googling, it looks like it's an Australia-wide organisation, but that doesn't help what the local club is.
I couldn't find any incorporation certificate or anything through CBUS.
No, and there's no ABN number or anything like that on there. I'd have to probably take that on notice to get some information. At the moment, they've only got 12 members, so I'm imagining it's just like a few people that are sort of coming together, whether they're under the auspice of the Infinity Drill Dance or not, I'm not sure. They would be available to get their casual hires insurance to hire the Civic Centre. So that probably needs to be put into the waiver as well, because I imagine that they can only afford the $23 in insurance, hire fees per hour. They're not going to be able to afford the cost of casual insurance.
Yeah. I guess my other concern was with the weekly hire. We had the food bank in the Civic Centre for some time, and there were some concerns about having that on a weekly basis and removing the availability for other organisations. Has that been a consideration in this case?
I think Ashita has had a look at the prior bookings, and at the moment there is nothing on a Monday night in the Civic Centre.
Councillors, any further questions of Gillian? We've been given three options, and there's a recommendation to reduce the fee down to $23 per hour. Someone prepared to move?
I'll move an amendment to the motion, potentially, that we do it for 6 months rather than 12.
I'll second that.
You certainly can. That's your prerogative. So that's what you want to move, Aaron?
I would move the recommendation with the change that it's 6 months instead of 12.
Thank you. We have a mover and a seconder, who's Councillor Curran. That we do reduce the hire fee from $74 to $23. And this is sort of for more information, only hire it from July through to April. So that would almost give them the first 6 months, so July or through to January. Yeah. So if everyone's happy with that, would you like to speak for or against?
Yeah, add that it's great to see another organisation in our municipality increasing the health and wellness of our residents. It does look like an interesting exercise, certainly nothing I'm going to get involved in, but some of the pictures online do look rather interesting. But yeah, I think a 6 month reduction in fees gives them an opportunity to build their membership, see if it is working in our municipality, and then hopefully they'll be able to afford the appropriate hire fees for the building.
Thank you. Is there anything further?
No,
totally. That's right. Thank you. If there's nothing further, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14.5, Uniting and Communities for Children, request for fee waiver for Pontville Hall. Who's got this one? Gillian.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So Uniting and Communities for Children have approached council about a fee waiver for Pontville Hall. They would like to run a series of four free sessions designed to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. They will be using principles from Parents Under Pressure and Bringing Up Great Kids. They're doing cooking, healthy lunchbox, friendly food and self-care and mindfulness activities. they've run the program previously in 2023, which with much success. So it's just recommended that the four sessions are, for the four sessions, a waiver of fire fees is given to this community group.
Thank you. Councillors, questions? Councillor McMaster?
What's your question?
No,
I just had, the one, if I could, for you, Mr. Mayor. I think this is an amazing opportunity for our community. I think this sort of training and mentorship is very much needed in our community. I just wonder whether Pontville is the appropriate location for it and whether there was any discussions about bringing that into more of the CBD type area.
I think because they've written in to request Pontville Hall, I'm not quite sure of the reasoning behind that. I did sort of think, oh, I've stuffed that up and it should be the Civic Centre, but then I've had a look at the attachment and specifically asked for Pontville Hall. I don't know if it's like a smaller space. It's got the nice industrial kitchen there as well.
That's fine if that was the request. More than
I might be good with just bring the door in a bit closer. That's what needs to be done sometimes.
I'd just confirm, Councillor De La Torre, did you move that?
No, Councillor McMaster.
Councillor McMaster moved. Is there a seconder? Thank you. Sorry, John. If you'd like to,
I was happy with moving it down Melrose because bringing the mother and daughter closer, they can have a bit more bonding. And excellent.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wish to speak for or against? I'll put that motion then. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. You've noted that, Councillor Murta. Thank you. Item 14.6 is a council policy review, the debtor management policy. surprise, surprise. Gillian.
So we've gone through a review of all our... we're undertaking a review of all our policies at the moment and updating them. So this policy is a debtor management policy. We previously have had a debtor management policy in place debt management policy in place for rates, but not for our debtors. So this is actually creating a policy that we can follow in order to follow up outstanding debts. And it's also rescinding the previous policies of authority to write off bad debts and just incorporating that into the new policy. So it just streamlines it a little bit more and it gives our debt collection procedure to follow.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions on this one? Councillor De La Torre?
Again, sorry. Just a couple of queries or possible changes to the amended policy. I love the fact that we're consolidating policies, firstly, and rescinding some of the excess ones that we no longer need. I just wonder if under 2.2 collection, we make a mention of a particular piece of software, and I wonder whether that's necessary or warranted, whether we remove that. So it's page 320 of our attachment.
And that's only the halfway mark.
It is, yes. Yeah. Literally. So if the invoice remains outstanding after the due date has passed, a reminder notice will be automatically sent to the customer via zero after 7 and 14 days. I'm wondering whether we should just change that to a reminder notice will be sent to the customer, remove the word automatically, and remove via zero.
Yep. We can do that. And just remove it all the way through,
I don't think we need to mention a particular piece of software.
No.
The last dot point under 2.2 as well, I've made a note here. The dot point says, for any debts owing under $300, legal action will not occur, but the debt lodged with the collection agency for no action. I'm just wondering why that would be, and if we're not chasing the debt, why we would lodge it.
I think it would just be to give them a bit of a scare with a letter. So obviously, we don't want to pay the 7.5% collection fees on that $300. I'm happy if we change that to collect it, or we don't lodge it at all. We can just leave it sitting there. And but I think most of the time people don't like that they receive a letter and it's a lodgement against their name, so they'll sort of like have a reaction. I have seen in the past that they don't respond to council letters. As soon as they get that TAS collection letter, they're ringing up and they're paying.
Mm. My concern would be that the action we take there puts a mark on their financial records, right?
Yep.
Exactly. Could possibly put them in further financial strife.
Mm-hmm.
For what is a pretty small debt. I wonder if we would be better placed to wait until there was a more significant amount before that.
The only thing with that is, like, quite often, and we have got quite a lot of old debts that are property-based debts,
yeah.
That are sort of like kicking. They've been bought over from our previous financial system. When houses are sold or they get another letter, they're like, "What's this?" And they don't remember that they didn't have their fire hazard cleared back in 2017 or whatever. So, I guess from an administration point of view, you're getting a lot of sort of heartache over a small amount of money. If you get a letter straight away, it could sort of be the difference between them paying and not before it actually goes higher.
Mm. I'm happy to leave it. There's no strong opinion either way from other councillors. Yeah. I just do worry that having an impact on someone's financial records based on a $300 debt or less than $300 is maybe a little unwarranted. That's all I have.
So we have two amendments.
That's the one.
We've got zero mentioned in dot point four as well.
Yeah.
Under 2.2.
Yeah. So I think removing the word zero.
Yeah.
And it's preceding words where necessary throughout.
Thank you. Councillors, we have recommendation to adopt policy 1.12 and rescind policy 1.13. Someone prepared to move with those couple of amendments? Thank you. Councillor De La Torre has moved. Councillor Whelan, was that you seconded?
Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion or debate?
Open to you. I think it's necessary. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. If there's nothing further, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving on, item 14.7 is the Brighton Council bushfire mitigation. And Alex, you got this one.
Thank you, Mayor, through you. So as part of the assistance from a grant from the State Emergency Service, the Natural Disaster Risk Reduction Grant Program, Council engaged fire risk consultants to develop the bushfire mitigation strategy for the municipality and also a bushfire mitigation plan for Dromedary. And the two strategies will essentially provide Council with the guidance to essentially work through as far as meeting our statutory requirements as landowner and addressing the risk of litigation and the like that that comes with bushfire. We're seeing more and more prevalent these days and being more adequately prepared across our municipality. If and when a bushfire occurs. So there's no immediate financial implications in endorsing this recommendation. However, moving forward, there will be actions within them both that we will undertake and that we will budget and plan for. And essentially, the recommendation there is put to council to endorse moving forward to ensure that we're supporting or we're addressing bushfire risks in our municipality.
Thanks, Albert. Councillors, any questions? We obviously had a workshop on this a week ago. Yep, beautiful. The recommendation on page 68 to endorse both the bushfire mitigation strategy 25 to 35 and Dromedary bushfire mitigation plan 25 to 30. Some are prepared to move. Moved by Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Discussion or debate?
No, I'm just happy to support the Director of Development Services
Yep. Thank you.
Just quickly, Mr. Mayor, I certainly support the strategy and the plan. It would be great to see moving forward that it's sort of looked at on a more regional sort of situation where we can include Southern Midlands, where obviously most of those fires originate from in the first place. Mm.
Yeah. Thank you. Councillors, anything further? Not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14.8 is the Brighton Activity Centre Strategy Community Consultation. Alex again.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you. So the recommendation for this report is to adopt the, or to endorse the Brighton Activity Centre Strategy for Community Consultation. Effectively, late last year, we proceeded with the phase one of consultation, which took place in October and November, and that consisted of surveys that were sent out also on our Have Our Say or Have Your Say page on council, and we received 93 responses to that, and that has assisted council's consultant Geographia and Mesh to prepare the strategy, and along with the strategy's background report, which we will be putting out. So our proposal is that we will update our Have Your Say page of council's website, put out some social media posts and emails and letters to stakeholders to provide their feedback on the activity centre strategy. And once we have that, we'll then be able to make any changes or alike and then represent back to council at a later point.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions in regards to this matter? If not, we have a recommendation that we endorse the Brighton Activity Centre Strategy 2025 and place it out for community consultation. Moved by Councillor De La Torre, seconded by Councillor Whelan. Councillor De La Torre.
I'd just like to say thank you for the work that's gone into that strategy already. It's looking like a nice document that's easy to read for the community. Always happy to move a recommendation to go out to community consultation. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Whelan.
Councillor De La Torre has covered everything. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Is there anything further? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14.9 is the Open Space Strategy Community Consultation. Someone will have to be quick this time. Alex.
Thank you, Mayor. So through you. Again, this report will be seeking Council's endorsement to take the Open Space Strategy out for community consultation. Our previous Open Space Strategy was developed some time ago, in 2012. Since that time, we've seen extensive change and significant growth in our municipality. It's a really important document as far as future planning our needs for open space, which is vitally important for the health and wellbeing of our community. So what we're proposing to do is similar to the activity centre strategy. We will be putting out an online survey on our Have Your Say, putting up some social media posts, but in addition to the previous strategy, we'll actually be organising some drop-in sessions at key locations across the municipality in the next month, if this is endorsed, so people will be able to come and have their say.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions of Alex before Councillor De La Torre quickly moves this motion?
Quick one.
Councillor Wheeler.
Alex, I noticed a number of the other councils have their open space policy, which in some part collects contributions and directs them towards focuses that this type of document will provide. So it'd be good to see that occur ongoing once we review that policy.
So through you, Mayor, yes, definitely needs to align with our open space strategy. It is due for a review. We've placed it on hold for the time being pending, or due to the recent announcement from the minister who's removed or who's apparently repealing the local government building and miscellaneous provisions. So once we know a little bit more, we'll bring that to council.
Yeah, you'd notice in our attachments, Mayor, that the font of label still features on the old beach page.
Still got to stick in the middle of the path on page 47 as well.
Done.
Still got to stick in the middle of the path on page 47
right.
as well.
Through you, Mayor, we can certainly put that feedback in and see if we can make a change.
Thank you. Councillors, we have a recommendation on page 74. Moved by Councillor a seconder. Seconded by Councillor Whelan. Councillor De La Torre.
Always happy to move a motion for the community consultation.
Thank you. Councillors, nothing further. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14.10 is a motion to the Local Government Association of Tasmania Open Space Policy. Alex, again.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you. So this motion that we're proposing to put to the April general meeting for LGAT is to lobby the Minister for Housing, Planning, Consumer Affairs and the State Planning Office to work with councils to introduce an open space policy. This sort of goes to the point that we were making at the previous item. Essentially, one thing that's been identified and that's been a long-standing problem is that councils have had the power to require public open space contributions when there's subdivisions and the like. However, with strata development, there is no tool. And essentially, strata development, as we've seen in this municipality, places a significant, if not more, requirement on public open space than what you would see in a normal subdivision due to its high density and the like. So what we're hoping to achieve here is that we can see a policy developed or position developed as part of the review into the Local Government Building Miscellaneous Provisions Act and also to a policy on that. And not only looking at that, but also the contribution rates as well, considering we're 5% and each state differs, but something that can be put out to the public and we can have an open discussion about. Thank you.
If I can just add that briefly, I've flagged this with the Greater Hobart CEOs and I think there's broad support. I have the General Manager's workshop tomorrow, so I'll flag it then, but ideally, if you get a majority vote at LGAT, as you know, then LGAT have to pick it up and lobby on behalf of the local government sector, which is what we're trying to achieve, which is useful, I think. If we're going to review an act and build it into planning schemes or looper, we should get as much right as we can. And the only other point I'd add, which we've probably talked about before, but these acts are pretty old, and when they were created, the vast majority of residential developments were single dwelling. But as we know, that's not the case, particularly for municipalities like ours now. So I think it's one that we should push hard on, and I think the Mayor and I might be meeting with Minister Ellis in the next couple of weeks, and we'll raise it there as well. Flag it.
Council, is there any questions on this particular motion? If not, is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor De La Torre, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Discussion or debate?
This one's not for public consultation, but I'll move it anyway. I like this motion. I think it solves a problem that we've experienced in this municipality over and over again with different developers being treated differently based on the solution that they deliver. I mean, it's a situation where we've got, was it 54 units in Old Beach being developed and no public open space contribution required there, but mum and dad in Brighton subdividing into two lots need to provide an open space contribution. I think it's a situation that we can't allow to go on any further, and we should be doing our bit to lobby the government there. So happy to move it.
Thank you. Councillor McMaster? Thank you. Councillor Lim.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think the application we saw tonight is a prime example of inequality of public open space contributions. 20 hectare lots that we don't need any open space contribution, or very minimal, compared to strata development. So it'd be, yeah, it's been a long time coming.
Thank you.
No, I recommend if anyone can speak to ministers that they do their little bit, because it won't be straightforward. There'll be pressure to go the other way, I would have thought, with the mood of government. So.
And it's, if I may sort of just speak openly in regards to it, Central Coast have actually moved an amendment to reduce or take away public open space contributions for small subdivisions within their municipality. So it's, we may not get their vote, but I'm sure we'll get the majority of other councils supporting it. Is there anything further? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14.11 is the Local Government Association of Tasmania 2025 General Management Committee election nominations. James?
I might hand over to Janine on this one, who knows the process much more thoroughly.
Yes, yeah, so this is the first process of seeking nominations for president or committee member of the General Management Committee. And there is a committee member of the General Management Committee at the moment. so, yes, does anyone want to nominate for president or committee member?
I I did nominate for both president and for GMC last time. Obviously, I was successful in getting elected to the GMC. To be honest, I've loved the time that I've spent on there, and having sort of more interaction with other mayors from around the state, and also with the Premier's Local Government Committee as well. So it does give you a few options to talk to government directly. I'm certainly not interested in nominating on this occasion for the President of Local Government Association of Tasmania. I see how much Mick does and how much travel and trips to Canberra that he does almost on a monthly basis. But it's just not something that's I would be able to take on. But if council see fit, I would certainly like to nominate for a position on the GMC again, if you wish to put me forward.
Yeah, happy to move that.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. And seconder, sorry? Yeah. Seconder, Councillor Currens. Is there any others that wish to nominate? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 14.12 is Australian Local Government Association National Federal Election Funding Priorities. James?
This one's pretty straightforward, really. ALGA do this every election. They do it ongoing and every year, but I don't know that we've had this before, but this year they've sought that they feel like it would strengthen their case if a large volume of councils formally endorsed their funding priorities. We feel like, you know, we'd all have slightly different views about the priority, but broadly what it is about is getting a greater share of Australian government spending in the local government sector. So we're supportive of it and don't see any negatives with supporting the broad campaign. I think just for background, you know, one of the trend issues over the last two or three decades has been local government's share of federal revenue dropping from about 1% to about 0.5%. So ALGA have had a position quite a while about trying to creep that back up 1%, because terms of hard public infrastructure, local government is quite a large percentage of overall in the country, certainly many multiples of 0.5%. So arguably it has been something that's been creeping downwards, well, not arguably, it has been creeping downwards over the last 30 years. So, yeah, I think most of those things would all be a positive for Brighton.
Thanks, James. Councillors, any questions? Not, we have a recommendation on page 81 to support ALGA in their pursuits. Someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor McMaster. Seconder, please. Seconded by Councillor Murtagh. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
No. Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 15 is questions on notice, and there aren't any. And that concludes our council meeting for the month of March. Thank you very much.